coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
In Crisis and with Christ, a mental health journey with Svenja Dollar.
Today, I will be going over and responding to a question that I was asked by my mother. Her question was very bold, but I immediately was taken aback by how simple of a concept it really was. I have absolutely no doubts that others have wondered this question and are not wanting to ask due to politeness. My mother is obviously very close to me, and therefore this question was not rude or crossing any lines, and I thank her very, very much for asking it. Without further ado, let us hear the wonderful question. She asked, "So, you're seeing doctors for your mental health and have medication too, so why do you still have such bad days? Do the meds not help?" Now, this question is one asked in so many situations by so many friends and families of people who are in a tough spot. I mean, you always hear these things. "Well, you're going to interviews. Why don't you have a job yet?" Or, "You're working out, so why aren't you losing any weight?" Or, "You're avoiding gluten, so why do you still have stomach problems?" Basically, they're asking why your attempts seem to not be working, and to be fair, for a caring close one, it is something that they were truly, truly curious about, because they want to help. But this question can obviously also sting, and for a long time, it did sting for me too, and it didn't matter whether it was asked by a caring loved one or a snide classmate. But what is the answer? Well, for me, it had to do with a division of struggles. When I began with my treatment over 5 years ago, there was so much to address that we, my psychologist and I, just dove right in. What we found was that I had many different factors that had me in the state I was in. But the most accessible problems, the most superficial issues, were the maladaptive ways that I had learned to handle my problems. These are usually called maladaptive behaviors, but more simply it means things that I had learned to do to handle what was going on in my life, and the things that I learned aren't very helpful. For example, I'd begun to harm myself to handle my emotions. That's maladaptive. It doesn't help me in the long run. And I'd also begun to avoid expressing my emotions and becoming dead silent for long, long periods of time. Also, not very helpful to me. So, many of my first issues that I had addressed and needed to address were behavioral things that ended up not being beneficial to me. The other type of issue that I had was the kind that was biological, so not behavioral, but something messed up in my head and my brain and my chemistry, like hearing voices. Hearing voices is not something I had or have control of. There's no cognitive behavioral tactics or relaxation exercise or envisioning exercises that I can use to avoid hearing voices. They just happen. Both of these types of issues are definitely a struggle and need practice and support to learn to manage. So my journey has been pretty much relentless since its start. In the early years, I began to work very hard on engaging in well-adapted and beneficial behaviors. When I had become rather good at handling my previously misguided emotions, I then needed to tackle my biological issues. I needed to become even more self-aware to understand what, if anything, made my angry voices more or less frequent. I had to begin to manage my days and activities to not swing my emotions from crazy, crazy highs to crushing lows that would exacerbate my mental illness. So that meant no drunk all-nighters or bachelorette parties, so I wouldn't get too wound up, and no sleeping for 20 hours straight and not getting out of bed to keep me from getting slowed down. Well, in reality, it was more along the lines of not letting myself get too excited over kittens and not letting myself retreat very suddenly into a dark room. I needed to slow down slowly so I could manage my emotions during the transition. But the extremities felt the same to me. Kittens were just as potent as big parties, and dark rooms were just as potent as sleeping for 20 hours straight and not moving. These emotional extremes were not something that I had learned to do, like cutting or not speaking. Of course, any recovery is not so cut and dry, as maladaptive behaviors first, and intrinsic issues second. There was plenty of crossover. While I was learning not to cut, I still had to begin to figure out how to watch and adjust my activities. But this is my very long answer to my mother's question. For the last 5 years, I always had something to work on. Once I had learned what to do for one problem, there was another to address. And each new issue brought forward led me on the same roller coasters of emotions that the last thing did. So, to an outsider, I was getting treatment and medicine and working on things daily, yet I still seemed to break down or outwardly struggle just as much as I did the same time last year. I want to say, on behalf of all people struggling with any mental illness, that recovery is not linear. It's more like loop-de-loops. And that's okay. In fact, it's probably healthy to be able to take those back turns and still keep on a general upward trend. And as always, God and Scripture played important roles in my personal recovery journey. He places in my life people who remind me of what I am telling you, that struggle is still present, but loop-de-loops are all right. Both God and these loving people remind me of my good days on my bad days, and on my good days, they remind me that they won't last forever, so to keep me from being devastated when they end. The role that I am in now, of encouragement and being able to uplift, is the same role that I fall out of and need someone else to fill. No one stays in one role for their whole lives. And here I am encouraging you to be the person who uplifts as so often as you can manage, and know that others can take your place when you start falling down again. This cycle of shifting roles is nothing groundbreaking. In fact, God has given us great guidelines for this in Scripture, in Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so a man can sharpen the countenance of his friend. This Scripture says people working together can help each other if they falter or lose sight of the goal, or God's plan, or love, or their very real recovery. And then 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. The Lord designed us as social creatures. He designed His church to be a collaborative effort of all involved. We cannot be a community, a church, or a whole body of Christ on our own. And after that, we have 3 John 1, verse 8. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Such people in this verse refers to those of the global church that Gaius and his church did not know personally, that we may help all, including those near and far, to further the truth in the land. And we have 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. The moment and the situation that you are in are also gifts from the Most High. If you are in a position to offer meaningful help to someone suffering from mental illness, please act as God calls you to. And then follow that up with Genesis 2, verse 18. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to live alone. I will make a suitable companion to help him." Again, this points that we are made to be social creatures. No one can do it alone. We were created as a tandem duo and are designed to be a part of a relationship and community. That means sometimes we give, and other times we receive. These verses are not arbitrary. They are put into our manual for life that was created by our Creator. He gave us these verses for times and situations like these. We all know that no one gets better infinitely. We all have our mistakes, sins, and hang-ups. That is something that we must not beat ourselves up over, but simply put our energy into our own improvement, and also, possibly more importantly, into the improvement of others. Remember, progress isn't linear. Loop-de-loops are normal, and wherever we are in the loop-de-loops of life, we may be able to help others just as they will, sooner or later, be able to help us.
In Crisis and with Christ, with Svenja Dollar, we'll be back next week. Please write your comments, suggestions, or requests to info@lutheranradio.co.uk or visit Svenja's blog at svenjadollar.wixsite.com/she's lost her marbles. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.
Lutheran Radio UK.